You want it. You need it. It's what everyone's talking about. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
All right, I'm here. Aaron's here. And Cooley's on the phone with us today. I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. I mean, we talked yesterday on the phone, and we talk periodically on the phone. But before we get to all of the, actually, the weirdness of, and I'm not going to say the weirdness of what's going on in the world. I'm going to say the weirdness of, like, this bubble of sports life, which is free agency with a whole world of chaos surrounding it, because the last 2 days have been a great diversion for people like for sports fans and a lot of the people that are listening to really get caught up into this free agency period. But let's start with, you know, what's been happening here over the last week, week and a half. How are you guys doing? What's your reaction to all of this?
We're doing fine. My son, we talked yesterday, but my son has hand, foot, and mouth.
Which has nothing to do with, you know, the coronavirus.
No, but it's awful for a little two-year-old kid. He's actually better. He's, like, had it for a week, so he feels fine. So we did my wife and the upstairs, my daughter and I in the basement, because neither of us have had it. It's a virus.
It's contagious.
Obviously, it's very contagious. And I didn't really want it, and my daughter really didn't want it, and I think I made her a hypochondriac over that time, and we decided to reunite the family today, so we'll see how it goes. But it's funny, though, because he starts to get sick, right, and he's got a fever, and you're like, oh, no. And then you're almost relieved that he has hand, foot, and mouth.
I know. You know, I think one of my kids had hand, foot, and mouth, too. I'm almost positive. I forgot to ask Kara after we talked yesterday, but I forget which of the boys, but somebody had that. I remember it was super contagious, and it was like going around school, maybe.
That's where he got it.
Yeah, and but yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, fever, viral, the whole thing, that's probably your first thought. But how are you and your wife, you know, how are you handling it? Like, you guys are younger, you know, you're in your 30s. And, you know, you have super young kids and you're really out of, you know, at least the target zone for any serious complications due to this. How are you handling it? How are you reacting to it?
I think that we're handling it essentially the way that America's asked everybody to handle it. That's to social distance. We started before Bodie got sick. And schools hadn't been canceled, nothing had been canceled 2 weeks ago, and we said, they're going to cancel everything. Why are we going to send them to school? And so we just started staying at home, and so we don't do anything. It's really fascinating, and it's not that I'm not concerned, because I don't want it, but at the same time, I don't know if I should get it, maybe because then I build up immunity to any... I don't know, man. And then you tell me to watch the Spanish flu stuff, and so I spent 3 hours watching Spanish flu.
Did you?
I'm paranoid about mutations. And it's just, I'm doing what everybody in the world's doing right now, is panicking a little bit about it. And it's not, I'm not panicked, but I'm consuming it to the point where I really hadn't looked at free agency.
Did you really? Because you and I were talking yesterday, and I told you, I said, I've gotten wrapped up in... And I've actually been very interested in this prior to what's happening here recently. I've always been interested in, like, pandemics. I'm interested in, I don't know some of the morbid stuff. But anyway, I found myself for hours on Saturday reading, watching videos on the 1918 Spanish influenza pandemic. It's a fascinating thing to read about. There are similarities, certainly, between what we're going through now. That one was much more lethal and actually targeted younger people. Most of the people that died, and 50 million did worldwide, were between 20 and 40 years old, at least in this country. And we were in the midst of World War I, and there was a lot of context to why it spread. Many of the countries who were fighting in World War I kept it under wraps because they felt it was a sign of weakness to admit that their country was dealing with this. And you had, you know, you had ships going from continent to continent fighting a world war. And, you know, there. It's an interesting thing. So did you really immerse yourself into this? Because it is an incredible sort of learning experience for this nation, and they've used this. A lot of people in health and a lot of governments have used 1918 as a way to sort of set guidelines to prepare for the next one.
No, I spent, I'll bet you, 3 or 4 hours last night and this morning watching YouTube videos and sitting and reading online, and it is fascinating how the first wave wasn't as lethal. The second wave became way more lethal,
right,
to the point where people were contracting it and showing symptoms and dying 12 hours later.
Right.
But it's also, a part of that is some of the lack of medicine to treat some of the secondary symptoms that they were getting, some of the pneumonia and some of the things. They didn't have antibiotics for the bacterial pneumonia that
That's
they were
right.
creating,
yep.
or that the bug was giving them, and so they couldn't fix it. And so, I mean, obviously, we have a lot of that stuff, but you hope you do everything, I think, as a country, as the world, to keep it to a level where hospitals can maintain themselves. Because if they get to a point where kind of Italy got to, then you start making decisions on who gets what, and it turns into craziness. And I don't think anybody wants craziness, Kevin. That's the one thing, is like, remain calm and do the best you can and deal with it for the next 3 months, because that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that,
if not more.
Well, I mean, that's the learning from the 1918 pandemic, is this whole concept of social distancing. And, you know, there were two cities that get, if you've been watching and following this, St. Louis, for whatever reason, realized that they needed to hunker down and socially distance during the 1918 pandemic. And their death rate was much lower than a city like Philadelphia, who was still holding sort of a world, you know, World War One, you know, money generating events and parades. You mentioned something that was so true, and it's a big difference between what we have now and then. There were no antibiotics in 19, and even though an antibiotic isn't what you use against a viral infection, a lot of people died from secondary infections that antibiotics could have, you know, addressed. But you also mentioned the part that this is where. And I've said this multiple times in conversations with Tommy and by myself with Aaron. Nobody's trying to alarm anybody, but I think the most fascinating or the most interesting thing about what we're going through now is I get the sense that they really don't know. They don't have a lot of answers as to how long this is going to take, whether or not it'll run its course, whether or not you build up immunity, whether or not one vaccine will be enough, whether or not it will mutate. You know, the pandemic of 1918, there was a first wave in the spring, and then the second wave came back much deadlier. It mutated into a much deadlier form. And over the following fall and winter, that's when the significant percentage of the 50 million worldwide deaths happened, you know, and the healthcare system was overburdened, which is you can hear in the voices of the authorities, you know, not necessarily our president, who isn't, you know, what I would call a master communicator. But, you know, like Dr. Fauci and some of these other people, you can hear what their biggest concern is. And one of the reasons that we have to hunker down and socially distance, and that is that everybody gets this at the same time. It overwhelms our healthcare ability and system. And, you know, all of a sudden, like they're doing in Italy, an emergency room, you know, nurse or doctor has to make the decision, does the 80-year-old get the ventilator or does the 40-year-old get the ventilator? You know, and they are fearful of that, very fearful of that. Not to mention they're very fearful of the healthcare workers themselves continuing to contract this and then being, you know, as they're exposed to it. And then they're in the healthcare system trying to help people. Like, one of the things we have to do is we've got to get all of our healthcare people tested to make sure that they're not infecting people who are coming in to get tested. It's really the same time.
I mean, they're going to have to find a way to do the drive-up tests or to do tests easier for people. I mean, and I have a hard time watching Trump talk about this stuff, and he was talking about Skyping with your doctor, and it's going to be terrific and wonderful. But, I mean, they're going to have to find ways to do a lot of that stuff, and that's also something that we have that 1918 didn't have. I don't know. It's, I don't know. The Spanish flu thing was wild. Did you read anything about Gunnison, Colorado? There was another town. There's a little town called Gunnison in Colorado that barricaded all the roads. They didn't get it. Well, they literally put up barricades and had, like, people that were going to shoot people that came into the town.
Yeah, I mean,
and then Spain is the only country.
Spain.
And Spain is the country that wasn't at war, and so they
that's right.
told everybody about it, and they got it much less. But that's the other thing that made that so much of a problem is nobody told the sovereign body. So everyone got it, and right now we're sharing data worldwide and coming up with vaccines and help and everything. There's a ton of – it's amazing how much they're putting out there and how fast they're putting out as far as human tests and vaccines. 3 months into this thing, really a month into it in America. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. I'm going to be at home watching.
Yeah, The Spain was not a participant in World War One. They were much more public about what was going on. Their people reacted to it, whereas Woodrow Wilson, the president during World War One in this country and other countries that were fighting, felt like it was a true sign of weakness to.
Well, he got it.
Yeah, and he got it, and to make this truly to make this public. And you know it's interesting because there's been a lot of conversation about. Referring to it as the Chinese, coronavirus or the Wuhan virus. And, is it xenophobic or is it racist? And I talked about this last week. I forget if I did it on the podcast or the radio show, but, to me, it does a disservice to real racism and xenophobia if we're going to get hung up on, actually accurately calling a pandemic and calling a virus based on the place that it came from. That's what we've done many times, whether it's Ebola or Zika or Lyme disease. Okay, Lyme disease, actually the origination point was a town in Connecticut. So I'm certainly open-minded, and I certainly consider myself, a good-hearted, tolerant person. But I think you basically cheapen the currency of real racism when you start calling people racist for calling it the Wuhan virus or the China coronavirus.
Basically, they determined that it came from a wet market in Wuhan.
Yeah.
And so call it whatever you want to call it. You put a ton of random wild animals from around the world together in nasty, dirty environments and start killing them and getting germs and having them all anxious and going crazy in there, you're asking for it.
Right.
And there's wet markets all over the place right now. That I didn't know that much about a wet market. Spent about an hour watching videos on wet markets last night. So that seems about as inhumane as I've seen.
Tell me about a wet market real quickly. I think I know what it is, but just go ahead.
So they basically put together a ton of exotic animals
Different
animals from all kinds of different countries, and a lot of their own animals, bats, rats, whatever, and they have them live. It's a live market, and essentially you purchase it. They'll butcher it and slaughter it there for you if you want to kill it and eat it, or you can take it. I mean, it's crazy. Like massive boa constrictors and zebra cats or whatever those things are called. I don't know. Every animal you can think of. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy to think that's condoned anywhere.
Yeah. But by the way, I was going to finish the one thought, which is the interesting thing about Spanish influenza and the pandemic of 1918 is that one of the reasons it got its name is that Spain handled it so well. The origination point, many believe, was Fort Riley, Kansas, and that it came from actually, started in Fort Riley Army boot camp, and then, soldiers got it and got onto ships and took it to the rest of the world. There's actually a lot of sort of conflicting information on that, but that's an interesting part of that as well, because it's always been referred to as as Spanish influenza, the pandemic of 1918. But anyway, I don't know. Personally, I'm not... I'm not going to get, you know, it's going to be really hard to convince me that referring to it by its origin, location, geography, if it originated from Bethesda, Maryland, and the world was calling it the Bethesda virus, I certainly wouldn't think that it was racist or xenophobic.
Well, I think in part, a lot of people in China are really embarrassed by it because of the way the government handled it and the fact that a lot of doctors there knew about it, and the guy that first saw it was then arrested for talking about it publicly,
yeah.
Who later died of it. I mean, I think a lot of, and I've watched stupid YouTube videos on Chinese citizens doing interviews, and I think they are embarrassed by, they're proud of their country, and they're embarrassed that it was from them.
Yeah.
I would be slightly concerned if that was how it came out from here. I mean, I wouldn't like it.
I would be slightly concerned that for, you know, the time being, we figure out a way to have decent relations with China, because they manufacture, you know, 90% plus of the world's antibiotics, and they have a lot of the equipment, masks, gloves, ventilators, a lot of that stuff is manufactured there. You know, it's one of these things that I think ultimately when we get through this, because we will, we're going to realize, good God, we're America. We should be manufacturing a lot of this stuff. We should
exactly.
be doing it here. But, you know, it can't be done here by companies that want to make huge profits because it's too costly to make it here. Well, we got to fix that somehow, and I know it's not easy. The stock market, again, by the way, tumbling today.
Yeah, it was down like 1,000 points
yeah.
when I looked at it this morning. But, no, it's – and I'll be really interested in – like, I was thinking about it yesterday, like almost like a diet, you know, like – you lose 50 pounds and you're doing great and eating right and everything gets back to normal. You're like, sweet, did it. Screw it. Back to normal life. Like, how long do we do things the right way, practice cleanliness, washing our hands? Does it end and we just go back to normal? Because the next one's just going to happen.
It's a really good
question. You know what I mean?
Like,
I've washed my hands more times in the last week than I have in the last year.
My hands are like leather right now.
My hands are so dry.
So dry. Everybody's are. I mean, I was going to ask you, so what have you done? So one of the things that I think as we go through this day by day and the story just changes day to day, I think people are, you know, the reason the store shelves are empty is because I think people think that, A, they, you know, could potentially be into a situation where they're hunkered down and they don't want to leave their house even to go to a grocery store, even if a grocery store had what they were looking for, that they're going to be in that position. So they have stocked up. Have you guys stocked up?
I'm not really stocking up. I mean, the last two times we went to the store, we bought more than normal, but that was so we didn't have to go to the store again in the next 3 days.
Right. Did you buy anything that is non-perishable, that can be canned goods, as an example?
No.
what
not
about
really.
Bottled water?
No, I mean, I bought one extra thing of bottled water, but to be quite honest with you, I'm like, my two fascinations with the hoarding or the stocking up is bottled water and toilet paper. Now, maybe not bottled water for everybody, but like for us, I have a creek that runs past my house. I can make a fire at any time, and I have three Brita water filters. Like, I'm assuming I'm going to be able to make some clean water for myself. Like, it's going to rain. I'm going to get water, right? That doesn't seem to be the biggest concern to me.
You mean if...
And
if
then,
yeah.
And then, two, I mean...
Do you have well?
If I do have a well, yes. Mm-hmm. And then, two, but if you really needed water, you can purify water.
Right.
Like, go out and get some... There's a lot of water in this area. If I'm wrong on that, then I'm wrong. But I think I can do that myself. And then, two...
You're from Wyoming. You'll figure it out.
The toilet paper thing is fascinating to me. Like,
Guess who's running low on toilet paper right now?
You.
Our household. We didn't go out and stock up on toilet paper. And
I'll bet you use less toilet paper every time you use the restroom, don't you?
Well, I've been starting to think about it. I'm definitely much more of a crumpler than a folder.
You think about, like, one, you can ration toilet paper, and two, there's a number of things outdoors that you can use.
You can. You don't really want to resort to that. But I would like the toilet paper to make its way back to the supermarket shelves soon. Like, my wife, you know, asked me, maybe make a run to, like, a 7-Eleven or, you know, a convenience store that, you know, And I'm like, okay. And I did that. No toilet paper. No toilet paper, no paper towels, no paper products, period. Nowhere.
Really? Oh, by the way, I went to 7-Eleven. I went to two gas stations yesterday, and I feel remorse for it, which is crazy. So I walked in, and I just got a couple drinks. We were going, my daughter and I went and walked around to Great Falls. So we did do something. I feel comfortable being outside.
Me too.
I watch a lot of things. They say, you're outside in the UV rays, you're going to be fine.
Right.
Wash your hands when you get done, whatever. So we get a drink on the way, and then I go to the register, and the guy freaking touches the tops of my bottled waters to scan them. I'm looking at him, I'm like, are you serious? You're going to touch the top of my drinks right now? He looked at me kind of funny. I'm like, do you realize what's going on out here? Like, you should probably not touch the tops of everybody's
right.
drinks.
Right. Yeah, you should pick them up from the bottom, you know, or did he have gloves on? I've noticed a lot of retail workers, those retail places that are open, there are a lot of gloves going on. But how do gloves help?
So thank gosh,
if you get the virus in the glove.
I was not going to even drink them. But then we got in the car, and my wife had antibacterial wipes in our car.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't stock up on those, or hoard those. So I wiped them down really good. Figured it was fine. And then I stopped and got gas on the way home in Great Falls, and my daughter was starving. I was like, we can't stop again. We're not going to another store. I'm starving. So I went in, I bought a Gatorade bar, and I went, took it up to the register, and the guy keeps reaching for it. I'm like, I'll hold it. You scan it.
Yeah.
No. And he reaches for it again. I'm like, I'm going to hold it. You scan it. And he looks at me funny. I said, I don't want you to touch it. And it's like,
yeah.
I just because a lot of us have realized, it doesn't mean everybody has.
No. I mean, have you seen the shots of spring break down in Florida? The spring breakers down in Florida? Oh, my God. I mean, my sister called me. Her oldest daughter is a senior in high school. Her youngest daughter is a senior in high school. And they were supposed to go to Cancun for spring break. They canceled that. They're down in, you know, on the west coast of Florida, panhandle of Florida. She lives in Nashville. And I said, what are you doing there? And my sister actually has sort of underlying health issues. And I'm like, why are you even there? Like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, the kids, they, you know, all they're worried about is their spring break because they're not going to have any school. They're not going to have a graduation. They're not going to have any of the other stuff. They're not going to have beach week. They're not going to have any of those things. I'm like, who gives a shit? You know, let her go by herself. I'm like, you're crazy. You know, being in a car for 7-8 hours with a couple of high school girls. I'm like, whatever. And she said it's mobbed down there. Like, everywhere you go, it's mobbed. There have been, you know, a bunch of those videos that have gone viral. You've seen them, Aaron, right? Some of the spring breakers down in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, in the rest of the country, you know, so many people are like, what? But you know what? Here's the truth. If I were 18 years old, I'd probably be just as self-absorbed and just as don't want to miss my spring break with my friends, especially since we're not going back to school. But, you know, that's the big concern, too, in this social distancing or the younger people. You know, that is a big concern. I drove through downtown Bethesda yesterday. Half of the places were closed. Like, half of them were closed. And then I drove by that McDonald's on River Road, Aaron. There was a line of cars on River Road to get through that drive-through. I mean, I'm assuming that places like McDonald's, drive-through fast food restaurants, have to be killing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
And why is that safe?
A good question.
That's what the president was talking about yesterday. He met with all of the big people, the McDonald's and Burger King. And Jesus. That's going to be... But why are we trusting that they don't have anything that they're putting into our food that we're going to eat?
I know. And by the way, they're going to hand you a bag. They're going to hand you napkins. They're going to, you know, they're going to wrap the burger.
That went in that bag.
They're going to wrap the burger. They're going to hand you for your chicken nuggets, your barbecue sauce, and your honey mustard. Then they're gonna, you know, they're gonna throw a straw into the bag with your shake, with your Shamrock Shake, CJ got a Shamrock Shake like 2 weeks ago. He said it was awesome. You know, last night was St. Patty's Day. Those places were empty downtown. I saw that on the news. Yeah, it's just so, you know. Then we move to this. So. And it's sort of where I started. I just think it's really interesting. And look, I have really embraced it, not just because of what I do for work, but because it's been highly entertaining and a really nice diversion. It's like in the midst of all of this craziness, Here's the NFL. You know, the NFL, you know, all the conversation around the world is pandemic, virus infection, social distancing. The only story that really matters, and the last 2 days, the NFL, it's just been wild. I mean, it's almost like they're playing violins on the deck of the Titanic. And I'm, of course, I'm exaggerating and kidding. But it's like they're just doing their own thing. And it's just sort of wild to consider that, you know, free agency and the frenzy around it and the players moving from team to team and the big names and the Tom Brady news, which on any other day yesterday, not only would have been the biggest sports story of the day, it would have been the biggest news story of the day yesterday. Tom Brady, after 20 years leaving the Patriots and going to Tampa Bay.
It would have been the biggest news story of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I've enjoyed it. It's been a nice diversion during those, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. Aaron's tweeting his ass off. I've been tweeting. He's texting me. Friends are texting back and forth. It's a nice thing to sort of have, you know, and maybe today's going to be another 4, 5, 6, 7 hours of NFL fun. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, there's no reason not to enjoy it. You know, if that's...
Oh, yeah, no, you should enjoy anything you can enjoy. I'm not saying...
Right.
Yeah, you're crazy if you're not going to enjoy it.
By
you're
the way...
not that interested in it.
By the... But it's so funny. When I talked to Cooley yesterday, I said, what do you think about Brady? And he goes, I don't know, what are you talking about? I said, well, what do you think about Kendall Fuller? And he said, did we get Kendall Fuller? He didn't know anything. So hopefully, in addition to reading about the 1918 pandemic, he has some views on what the Redskins have done and the NFL. And we ended up talking for a half an hour yesterday about a lot of this stuff. I wanted to mention one thing before we get to this. So yesterday, the PGA got postponed. The French Open, the Kentucky Derby. All of them now talking about the September-October time frame. Right, Aaron? Am I missing any other events? Has anything else gotten canceled today?
Not that I know of.
I'm assuming in golf, as an example, they're not going to play the U.S. Open in June, more likely than not. What you could be headed towards, let's hope, knock on wood, because it means, you know, we're back to some normalcy, is a September-October filled with college football, NFL football, 3 to 4 major golf championships, the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown, all of the tennis majors, the NBA and the NHL playoffs, if those seasons don't get canceled entirely, maybe, you know, playing out. Who knows what where the Olympics will land if they don't, you know, go forward in... Are the Olympics scheduled for June or July?
Late July, early August, I believe.
Okay. I mean, we could have...
They're getting canceled.
More like, I would think so. We could have, though, in September and October, a concentration of sports all coming together one time that will be unbelievable. I'm optimistic. We'll get there. I think we're going to get there. As long as the spring breakers head home and hunker down.
I mean, that's the thing. That's got to be hard, too, as parents at that age. And I feel bad for especially a lot of the high school seniors who don't get to have their senior year, a lot of the college athletes who don't get to play. You know, the NCAA tournament getting canceled is too bad for so many of those kids.
Mm, too bad for us.
But it's also hard to explain to those kids that they need to stay home because they're sitting there saying, I'm probably not even going to get symptoms of this thing. I'm going to have a mild cold. Like, who the hell cares? I'm going to spring break.
Yeah. But the problem is, as you read and I've read, the second wave, if it mutates, could be much different. Let's not talk about doomsday. All right.
Then
so,
we'll just be good at staying in our houses, won't we?
Yeah. Real quickly, mybookie.ag, they're taking bets. Lots of futures bets. The Buccaneers are now the 5th or 6th favorite, depending on, you know, which book you have. Mybookie.ag, I think it has them at like an 18-1 pick to win the Super Bowl next year. So there's plenty of futures to bet on and then political stuff to bet on. Mybookie.ag is easy to use. They pay fast when you win. They'll let you bet on anything. Use my promo code, KevinDC, and you'll get a 50% bonus when you sign up at mybookie.ag. That's KevinDC, my promo code at mybookie. Plenty still to bet on. Not games every night, we know that, but The future stuff is actually really interesting, and the Buccaneers skyrocketed.
Fifth on my bookie, plus 1,200 right now.
Plus 1,200. Wow, so it's down to 12-1. I saw 18-1 earlier. All right, let's start there before we get to the Redskins. Tom Brady, we don't need to document his career. Everybody understands the career he had. But I think one of the most amazing things about Brady's career, and I know people have chalked this up to the division he was in, you know, which allowed him to win an easy division year after year after year and have a home, you know, playoff game year after year after year. But what's amazing to me is his 30 playoff wins are 14 more than number two on the list, Joe Montana. 14 more wins than Montana. And then everybody else on the list, he's got twice as many playoff wins as Terry Bradshaw, John Elway, and Peyton Manning, all of whom have 14. Brett Favre's got 13, Roethlisberger 13, Staubach's got 11, Aikman's got 11, Flacco has 10, Rodgers has 10. No one's ever going to get close to that. Russell Wilson right now has 9, and Aaron Rodgers has 10, and Roethlisberger has 13 of the quarterbacks that are currently still able to play. There's no chance of them getting to 30. He's thrown 73 touchdown passes in the playoffs. Is he the greatest of all time, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think he is. I think it's hard to debate it. In any given game, in any given year, I don't know if you take Tom Brady at the height of his prime versus Joe Montana at the height of his prime or John Elway at the height, but I think over the longevity, it's hard to say that he's not.
What's made him so great from a football player's standpoint?
His absolute understanding of everything that goes on in the game, how fast he processes. How well he sees the field, how well he sees defenses, pre-snap, post-snap development of plays, being an offensive coordinator on the field, his competitiveness, because he's a competitive dude, his leadership, his urgency when he needs urgency. I just think that he is about as perfect as you get as a quarterback. Now, it'll be interesting what he is at this point with a new team and a new offense. And by the way, wouldn't you just say, what's your offense, Tom?
Yeah, what kind of offense do you want?
I don't think there's anything about Tom Brady that, I don't know, other than his lack of athleticism, which he is an athlete. He's just not fast. I think he's actually a pretty decent athlete. He's slow. But he's amazing. He's been amazing for so long. I've been a fan of Tom Brady for a long time. A lot of people dislike the Patriots. You know I like the Patriots. I mean, it's not my team, but I like watching teams do things the right way. Kevin, I'm interested, though. Is the writing on the wall for Tom Brady in New England, was that it? Were they basically saying, please retire here as a Patriot, but you're done?
So I was listening.
And if so, were they planning on moving on to Jared Stidham? Is that because you're sending him out? Obviously, you're not going to pay him another massive deal. But I don't get it. I totally don't get this one.
Yeah, I was listening to longtime Boston writer Dan Shaughnessy yesterday on Mad Dog on XM Sirius. It was a really good interview because there were a couple of things that I think I learned about this situation. Number one, he made it very clear that basically everybody in the know in New England, in Boston, that this was Belichick. Belichick was ready to move on from Brady, that Kraft and Belichick would have given Brady the opportunity to come back for one more year for a lot less money. But they were ready to turn the page because they really feel that at 42, 43 years old, and the team that they have also, that it's time to free up cap space and start trying to build a team. That to take up, you know, say $30 million times two years, which is reportedly what he may be getting in Tampa, was just not in the best long-term interest. And, you know, on some level, that makes sense to me. Like, he's 42 years old. Like, you know, and you could, I personally don't subscribe to this because I heard people saying all day yesterday, he sucked last year. I watched him play in Washington. I didn't think he sucked. I just didn't think he had any weapons offensively. But anyway, I mean, he did throw 24 touchdowns to 8 picks, threw for over 4,000 yards with basically nothing around him.
Nothing.
Nothing last year. So I think he has something left, but I can kind of understand it from New England's perspective. But he did say that this is all Belichick, and Kraft essentially sided with Belichick. Now, Kraft came out and essentially said this was Tom's choice. You know, it's also, and I know I always use a Kirk Cousins analogy here, but when I heard Shaughnessy explain that essentially, you know, they're trying to make it Tom's decision, but they never made Tom an offer that he could accept, really. That it was really the organization's decision. And that's sort of how it went with Cousins, right? They never actually made him a market value offer. He could have accepted the lower than market value offer, but they didn't give Brady a choice. And then it became, you know, and the other thing Shaughnessy said was that New England in general, that Patriot Nation in general, was sort of expecting this. And obviously they're nostalgic yesterday and today. But that many of them sort of understand the decision, and that, you know, the bottom line is that Belichick is 68 years old. He may coach for another 10 years, and it's time to start rebuilding and making another run with Belichick as their coach. Whereas, you know, in that AFC with Baltimore and Kansas City in particular, you know, being powerhouses, and they really are right now. And God, the Ravens keep sort of getting, you know, wealthier here in the free agency period. How about a fifth rounder for Calais Campbell? But they, you know, they weren't going to really be a Super Bowl team the next 2 years with him at 43 and potentially 44 years old. So then it came down to,
I mean, that's what you think, but I understand that there are going to be people that they have to pay, and defensively, I mean, you have some big decisions coming up. And
well, they made some of them, Chris. Kyle Van Noy's gone. Collins is gone. You know, their salary cap situation is not great. You know, so they're.
Oh, I mean, I get it. I understand it, is what I'm saying to you. But yeah. At the same time, I mean, there's ways that, like, they can defer money. I think you can defer money. The NFL doesn't love it. That's actually something that's going to come up in the CBA, is deferring money to post-career. It's been done before. But there was the Brett Favre deal, like $2 million a year for 10 years to stay in Green Bay. He just retired. Like, they could do a futures deal where some of it may not be as a player. I mean, they could sweeten that deal.
Right.
But I think in part, he probably doesn't care about money, and it was really just what the money represents.
Yeah, of course, because money really doesn't matter to him and his very, very wealthy wife. But I think what you just said, and that's sort of what Shaughnessy said as well in listening to that interview, is that ultimately, you know, Tom wasn't going to play in a place that didn't value him. And when they said you can come back essentially for, you know, cents on the dollar, that ended it right there. So then it was about matter of the teams. And, you know, we sat here and we talked about Tampa Bay and the Chargers yesterday on the podcast. And, I mean, I've been mentioning Tampa Bay, Aaron, for a while as a fit that I thought made a lot of sense. I didn't predict that he'd go to Tampa, but I just kept saying over and over again, if he doesn't end up in New England and he goes somewhere, Tampa's the team where he can win right away. Like, they have massive weapons. We've talked about it over and over again, but a good coaching staff with Arians and then Leftwich and Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator, and Godwin and Evans and O.J. Howard and Ronald Jones. And, you know, they've got talent on defense. It didn't really show up last year, and they were a good team last year if Winston doesn't throw, you know, 30-something picks. I personally believe that they will be a playoff team and a potential Super Bowl contender either this year or next year. What do you think?
I think that Tom Brady has more risk than the Patriots do in this situation. But to answer your question, I think that they have the potential to be a Super Bowl contender, but it'll be based on the way that Tom plays. That said, I mean, it's not like he has to be amazing. Arians likes to be a run-first team. They'll protect him with that stuff, and if they can run the ball a little bit, you have two amazing deep threats and a tight end who can stretch the field. And Cameron Brate's also another pretty good tight end that's part of that roster as well. And so he's got weapons, but And yeah, they'll be in the playoffs. There's just no doubt in my mind with Arians and with that group, they'll be in the playoffs. But don't you think that Tom has more risk than this? Well, and essentially, the Patriots are pretty much going to be let off the hook by being able to say, look, we couldn't pay Tom Brady $30 million a year for however many years. He held us hostage, and that's not his value right now. And it probably isn't his value right now, to be completely honest with you. At least to them, it's probably not 30. I'm not sure with weapons, and we'll find out. But, man, can you imagine if he goes to Tampa and has a year like Phillip Rivers had last year and is in a massive decline and everyone's going to say, yep, Tom Brady lost it. I mean, it would have been fine to do that with the Patriots for one more year, you know, give it all for your team one more time. But going somewhere else and getting a huge deal, if you don't perform a little bit, it's not going to tarnish him, but it'll be embarrassing a little bit.
What's the risk, though? Is the risk that you are left if he fails in Tampa and Tampa doesn't have good results, and then, oh, by the way, the Patriots end up making the playoffs with Jarrett Stidham or Andy Dalton or whomever?
I don't think it has anything to do with the Patriots in terms of Tom's risk.
I think it's a Brady versus Belichick thing.
To him, I think it is. I absolutely believe that there is something that has to do with that competitive rivalry, but I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, what if I watch Tom Brady not look like Tom Brady at all in a Buccaneers uniform? It'll suck. It'll be weird. It'll suck. It won't feel right. I don't know. Maybe there's not risk, but I think he has a safety net to fail in New England if it's his last year.
The risk is if he doesn't succeed and Belichick does, then the question becomes, how good was Tom Brady versus how good was Belichick?
Yeah,
that's a great point. That's a great point, but that isn't fair.
It's not fair, but it'll come up if it happens.
No, it's definitely going to come up because that's been a conversation about the two of them for years. Who was more responsible for this dynasty, Belichick or Brady? Personally, I think they were both equally responsible.
But in that respect, it's not fair on Tom's side.
Of course, he's 42.
If Tom goes to the Patriots or to the Buccaneers and takes him to the Super Bowl, a lot of people will say it was Brady.
Yeah.
It was a lot of Belichick, man. Like, getting ways to get those defenses all the way back to the Giants and the first Super Bowl they won and finding a way to stop the K-Gun and Jim Kelly all the way through all the defenses that they had in Super Bowls. Even years where they weren't good on defense, they found ways to be good on defense. I mean, we're doing the show, 3 years ago, and you hated the Patriots on defense. And all of a sudden, they get to the playoffs, and they're right. Really good on defense.
I know.
So there's I promise you, Tom Brady's not coaching the defense.
Look, the conversation that some like to have, which is if Brady hadn't been drafted by New England and he'd gone to Cleveland or a bad organization like Washington or Oakland, you know, he wouldn't have had that success anywhere near it. Well, that's true because he wouldn't have had Belichick, but I bet he would have been successful, and I bet he would have elevated those franchises had there been anybody smart enough to put him on the field, you know, to start with. But I personally will not. It's like Unitas and Namath and some of the others that went and finished their careers elsewhere, and, you know, sadly in San Diego for Unitas, in Los Angeles for Namath. Nobody thinks of those two players as, you know, a Charger or a Ram. They think of them as a Colt and, you know, a Jet, and they're going to, you know, Brady is going to be synonymous with the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. I'm coughing. And they're going to, you know, regardless of what happens in Tampa, that's for me. But I think, you know, it would be totally unfair if Brady is past his ability at 43 years old and can't elevate Tampa and that good team to something great to say, oh, it was all Belichick, because you're then talking about a 43 and 44 year old quarterback. It may have been that's exactly how he was going to play in New England had he played, you know, the next 2 years there.
Yep.
One other thing on Brady. You know, you said he's going to essentially say this is the offense we're going to play. Evans, Godwin, you know, Howard. This has been a throw the ball and throw the ball deep downfield team. Can Brady execute that kind of style of offense if they decide to continue to play that way with the talent they have?
I don't know. I really don't know. You've watched him over the last couple of years, and you see him putting a lot more loft on balls and floating balls a little bit more, but I have a hard time seeing that he's lost a ton of arm strength. Phillip Rivers has. I could see that last year, but Brady's still making some pretty good throws. I just don't think he can make throws out of compromised positions the way he used to. Like, he needs to be able to step into a throw a little bit, but his timing's so good that he does a lot of the time. So, not like Jameis did last year. I mean, he's not going to be throwing it 50 yards down the field a bunch. I don't think.
Yeah,
we'll see. Here's the other thing is in the age we're in football and what Tom Brady's, and nobody's taking care of their body the way Tom Brady has or had the technology, medicine, whatever. He's taking care of himself in a way that nobody has really ever taken care of themselves.
TB12.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. And I don't think anybody cares about that.
Company.
One of the, results of Brady going to Tampa is that Jameis Winston now is not going to be in Tampa. So I was listening to, do you know who Rick Stroud is, Aaron?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a guy that covers the Buccaneers whatever newspaper he writes for. And I was listening to him on a national radio show yesterday. And I learned something about Jameis Winston that I did not think that I knew. And I don't know if you know this, Aaron. Aaron's a big Buccaneers fan. That he is incredibly well-liked, highly respected by coaches and players alike, and that Evans and Godwin, these people look up to Jameis Winston as if he's like, the guy, despite all of the interceptions, and that they were perfectly willing and would have been fine with Winston coming back. But the reason they're going with Brady is because as much as they love him and as much as they love his potential and his apparent leadership, he just throws too many picks. That's the one thing they don't like. They like everything else about him. So, the narrative that developed around Winston after the incident at Publix when he was at Florida State and some of the other things, I was surprised. This guy went on and on about how highly respected and well-liked Jameis Winston is by everybody in the organization, including last year's new coaching staff, that they all like him. They told him to get LASIK. He got LASIK. Eye surgery. But now he's out there. Where are the places right now that need a quarterback? New England needs a quarterback if it's not Stidham.
Chargers
need one. And
Bears.
The Bears, I guess, could still be in the market for a quarterback.
I mean, that's in question, I know what they are. I know what they have. But do they really? Would Las Vegas, by the way, I'm reading this, Las Vegas Raiders just blows my mind, but would Las Vegas, are they comfortable with Carr? Is that,
yeah.
I mean,
well, they had Mariota
that's
now.
An organization
they signed
that's
Mariota.
Always come, that, yeah, well, that's a backup, so.
Yeah.
I don't think Mariota's a good starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think if I had to take one of the two right now, I'd definitely take Jameis Winston.
What's the issue?
What'd they pay Mariota? Did you see that?
It wasn't a lot, I don't think. I haven't seen. I want to say it was less than 10, Aaron. I thought I saw that. Look that up. In Jacksonville.
I didn't see the money on that one. That doesn't mean that they got their starting quarterback. By the way, that would be wild if they signed Winston and you end up getting what, 1 and 2 of that year's draft for nothing.
Yeah, they're both on the same team. What do you think Jay's going to want to do in Jacksonville? Minshew? Or Foles?
Yeah, I'll bet he'll love Minshew.
Okay.
No, Minshew. I don't think it'll be Foles. It'll be Minshew.
Well, they're trying to trade Foles, supposedly.
Yeah,
Where are you going to trade Foles, though?
Chicago is the word right now. Chicago is looking around, and it seems like it might be down to Foles and Dalton right now for Chicago.
God, did Chicago make any more mistakes on quarterback or pay any more money in the last 5 years?
Yeah, it's so true.
Because remember, they paid the kid from Centerville, the tall kid.
Glennon.
They paid him a boatload, then traded everything away to get up to end up taking a quarterback. And now they don't like him, and you're going to make another trade?
Right.
I guess you got to get it right.
Phillip Rivers ends up in Indy for $25 million 1 year. I actually, You know me, I'm a big Rivers guy, and I saw a different Rivers last year physically. Charlie Casserly went on and on yesterday about watching the tape and that Rivers hasn't lost anything, that he had a bad offensive line. He's 2 years removed from that great year when they went 12-4, and by the way, got blown out in Foxborough after beating Baltimore in that first round. It's not a bad team around him. I mean, they've got the running backs in Mack and the guy from NC State, Aaron Hines, mm-hmm. right? They have T.Y. Hilton still. That's it, though, receiver-wise, because Funchess is a free agent. Ebron's a free agent. They got to add
Jack
something.
Jack Doyle.
Yeah. What about Melvin Gordon to Tampa? They still have a lot of space.
They do have space, and there has been talk about that. I don't know if how much paying $30 million to Brady changes that, but it wouldn't shock me if one of the things they said was, we don't really have a running back right now, but we'll get one in here for you.
The thing about Indy, I know you really like Eberflus, the defensive coordinator. Frank Reich is now reuniting with the quarterback that he was an offensive coordinator for in San Diego. I actually think, if he's healthy, if he's got the arm strength, I think that could be a really interesting team next year.
I think Frank Reich's done a tremendous job for Indy. By the way, inheriting a staff that he didn't pick at all. It was all Josh McDaniels' staff, but McDaniels picked a pretty good staff, and Eberflus is tremendous. They have a very good offensive line, the Colts do.
Right. After years
really,
of not having
really yeah. good offensive line with Ryan Kelly at center and Quentin Nelson in there, and I like Anthony Costanzo.
They re-signed him.
Re-signed him, and yeah, good backs. T.Y. Hilton's your only threat right now. But how many years did Philip Rivers get it done with 10 guys hurt for the Chargers? Like, how many times did Rivers, like, you always love the Chargers, and then they get to November and they are playing with Joe Doyle. That receiver, you're like, who the hell is Joe Doyle? I don't know.
They were ravaged by injuries every year. Not necessarily year,
but,
this year.
But to your point, he lost a lot of velocity.
You think so too, right?
The reason I don't think so is because he can't throw a deep out route. He can't throw to the perimeter on the outside and put it on the line anymore. He's always had that weird arm motion, but he's always been able to put a ball on a rope. He didn't do it last year. I don't care what he says. I don't care what anybody says. I watched a ton of Chargers film because I watched Hunter Henry as I was evaluating all the tight ends for free agency, and I love Hunter Henry, who the Chargers franchise tagged. Love him. So I ended up watching 12 games of last year in the Chargers, and I just didn't see it, Rivers. I watch games on TV. I do love Rivers. It's fun to watch him on TV, talk to everybody. He's incredibly smart and capable of running an offense, and he'll be better than Brissett. But he's not the same Philip Rivers. He's still better than Brissett. They'll be a better team. And they had a chance to make the playoffs last year. They win a couple games that they could have won.
Right, and they were in the playoffs the year before that with, obviously, Andrew Luck. Last thing before we get to all the Redskins stuff, Bridgewater to Carolina.
I think it's a good pickup. I don't know exactly what Carolina wants to do. Bridgewater proved last year that he's functional, capable of running an offense. They were limited what they did when Bridgewater went in. Obviously, it wasn't the same type of offense, but he won games, and I think that's critically important for a quarterback. He ran the offense really, really well. I'll be interested in how he handles a full season. I really will be interested in how he handles a full season in Carolina. I have never been blown away by Bridgewater, but I do like Teddy, and I was impressed by what he did last year. But you wonder, is that a product of the Saints and Sean Payton? Is Teddy really the guy that we projected him to be after a very good year with Minnesota? Well, really, it was perceived as a very good year. I thought it was pretty average year, actually, when I went back and watched it. But I'm excited for him to have another opportunity. I'll say that. I think Teddy really, that was brutal what happened to him and the way it happened, and then he's handled himself incredibly well. Deserves a chance to start and see what he's got.
All right, let's get to the Redskins and all of
this. By the
stuff.
Way,
yeah.
We can get to the Redskins, but I just was going through all these. Jason Witten went to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. Raiders.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Why do you say that?
I can't believe he's still doing it.
Does it make you jealous?
No, no, no. It's the opposite. I don't want to do that. Get to the Redskins.
You would have been much better in the Monday night booth. Much better than Witten.
So would you.
Here are a couple of other things from yesterday. Just, you know, Redskins related. Trey Boston stays in Carolina. Corey Littleton goes to the Raiders. These were some of the names that, you know, had been bandied about with connections to the Redskins. Joe Schobert to Jacksonville. Blake Martinez to the Giants. So a lot of that stuff was going on too. Malcolm Jenkins got released in Philadelphia. He's not coming here. You know, he's going to want to go somewhere where he can probably win sooner rather than later, would be my guess. But let's get to the Redskins. Let me do a quick read, if you don't mind, for our friends at Stamps.com. Now you need Stamps.com more than ever. You know, you don't want to leave your home and go to the post office, and you don't want to buy stamps where people's hands are all over them. This is a time-saving and a cost-saving opportunity. Stamps.com, you can do anything that you do at the post office. Their on-demand postage means you can skip that trip to the post office. Plus, you save money with huge discounts. It's real easy to use. You simply use your computer. You print official U.S. postage 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once the mail's ready, just stick it in your mailbox and let the mail carrier pick it up. He's got gloves. She's got gloves. They know what they're doing. It's simple. Time's the thing you'll be saving, but you'll be saving money as well. 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. Right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Kevin DC. That's stamps.com. Enter Kevin DC. All right, I want to start, before we get to what they've done in free agency, with the Cam Newton stuff, because I definitely want your opinion on this. So Cam Newton's given permission to seek a trade yesterday. We had the report from Matt Berry, the fantasy guy, right, Aaron, at ESPN, mm-hmm. about a month ago, who said, he's a Redskins fan, by the way, who said that Ron Rivera and Cam Newton are super, super close. And while he doesn't predict it, he wouldn't, you know, be shocked if one day they reconnected. And then this from Josina Anderson at ESPN, who I think actually does a really good job as a reporter. She sent this Instagram post out last night at 9:41 p.m. Regarding Washington as a potential destination for Cam Newton, I'm told the team discussed it. Talks did not rise to the level of definitive interest at this time. More of a, quote, wait and see mode right now, observing Newton's market. Skins also like their young guys too, per source. So I read that late last night, and here's what I thought. I thought, number one, the wait and see mode right now, observing Newton's market, means that they probably wouldn't trade for him, but if he got released, they might consider him. That's the first thing I thought of. And Cooley, you'll have a minute here, more than a minute, to discuss this. Yesterday, I suggested that, one, I didn't think he would, you know, get traded for. Two, I didn't want him here necessarily. But I brought up the possibility that in this crazy, you know, world we're living in, where almost everything in the offseason is going to be canceled, OTAs, mini camps, who knows even about training camp, that some teams that are going to be required or going to be trying to implement new systems might want to bring in a quarterback that's familiar with their system. And so if they ended up going with Cam Newton off of waivers in 3 weeks or something or whenever, that might be the reason why. I still predict no Cam Newton, and I don't know that I'd be a huge fan of it, although I really did like Cam Newton for a few years as a player. But it would be great for the podcast and the radio show if they actually signed Cam Newton. But I don't expect it to happen. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I thought about it a little more. Now, I don't think they're going to trade for him, but I don't think anybody's going to trade for Cam. because I think everybody's concerned about the future of Cam. And if they are going to trade for Cam, it's not going to be a high pick. I don't think that's really a possibility with the potential for him not being able to play, really, because of some of his injuries. But that said, if he goes to free agency, I also don't expect him to get a big deal. The problem with the Redskins is they still got the Alex Smith deal on the books.
Yeah, I mean, Cam's so scheduled to make right around $20 million.
Right. No one's going to claim him off waivers for that.
Yeah, right.
So he'll clear waivers if they're going
that's
to
right.
do it. Right. So,
wait a minute. So do you think it's a possibility or not?
Well, based on essentially the way I've perceived this is Ron pretty much brought everything from Carolina and has basically said from opening from Happy Thanksgiving that you do things the way we tell you to do and we're going to win games. That's it. It's on me. You do it. Like, there was nothing wrong in Carolina. And I think part of him probably has a feeling that if he had Cam all year, they would have had a chance to win the Super Bowl. I think everything about the way they've gone about their business, and Ron has, and I'm not opposed to it, is we were fine. We shouldn't have been fired. Everything was great there. And so the one thing they didn't have last year was Cam Newton. I could see it. And I think you bring up some really interesting points that I'm sure we can talk about in terms of running your offense. But my concerns with Cam are more Cam. Does he care about football anymore?
Right.
I mean, you and I both watched
right.
the video with the glass of wine. I've heard that he lost 30 pounds last year, kind of just wanted to look good, was not as interested in football as he had been in the past, is very concerned about the Cam Newton brand. I don't want to say concerned, but I can see that he is very interested in his own brand at this point, more so than maybe being a quarterback. You know, so you got to start thinking about, did he refocus because of what happened last year, or did he drift away from football because of what happened last year? And then who are you getting? Are you getting a guy that's hurt? Because, I don't know, he's been hurt, and he's got some injuries that I think his shoulder's a massive concern right now.
Right.
I think he has a massive concern with his shoulder ever being normal and functional again. So you're concerned about that, and does he even pass the physical? That'll be something that'll come up, by the way, is when he goes somewhere, does he even pass physicals when he goes where he goes? So I don't think the market will be massive for Cam Newton. I doubt there will be a trade market. I think he'll clear waivers. He will. I mean, if he wants to go somewhere, he'll go somewhere. But it'll be humbling for him, in my best guess. Is that he won't be sought after. So I could see him here. And then you bring up a good point, is if there's no OTAs and there's no off-season program and you want to install a new offense, and I don't know what it's going to be, but I think in the Turner system, it's an all-numbers Coryell system versus Jay's West Coast system. And that's tough to get your quarterback going early.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking, and I think your injury concerns are real. You said something to me on the phone that I mentioned on the radio show with respect to this, and that is, you know, if they get into a bind with not being able to implement their offense because of the lack of off-season, ability to do it, you know, on site, that you think that they should go with last year's system and just have the coaches adapt.
I presented that conversation. I don't know if they should or shouldn't, because obviously if you have a strong belief in a system, like if I was going to build an offense, I would want it to all make sense and have a reason. Now, most teams haven't done that. They just take another system and build off of it. But I would start from scratch. If I had a chance, I'd want to do it. I'd want to start from scratch and install the way it should be done and think through the why and how the language should work so it makes sense. And I don't know if I'd want to just go with somebody else's language, which, by the way, West Coast is what probably 24 teams use.
Right.
But, yeah, if you didn't have one day to work with your quarterback, you should maybe dig through some of those old playbooks. And by the way, they're all the same plays. Like, everyone runs the same stuff. It's how you run it, the way you run it. Are you run-focused? Are you pass-focused? Are you more gun? It's just the language. You might want to think about sticking with last year's language if you don't have any time to work with your quarterback. He knows it. He knows it. And I think you don't have a lot of time to get to know your young quarterback. Obviously, you don't want to think too much about what happened with the past staff, but everyone's going to look at, man, he didn't study the right way and think, what if he didn't, and then we can't install this offense? You do have to think about it that way. Like, you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but in the back of everyone's mind is going to be, man, if he really didn't study, it really took him that long to know it. We really couldn't get plays called. The other staff was saying this. How are we going to get things going with 3 weeks of practice?
Right. You've also told me that he's smart and a quick learner and the whole thing. Others have said that as well. I mean, this wouldn't just be the case for the Redskins. Look at how quarterbacks a lot of quarterbacks are going to be in new situations. You know, Cincinnati's going to probably draft Joe Burrow and expect him to start. You know, it's Daniel Jones has a new coach in New York, you know, and a new offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett. You know, how many games did Jones end up starting? 10 games, 11 games, something like that? 4 or 5 more than Dwayne? So they're not going to be the only team in that, you know, conversation potentially if there's no offseason.
But we say this, and then I'm saying this like, you can't give me a playbook and I can't learn it from top to bottom while I sit at home. Obviously, I haven't operated in the timing and stuff of it, but Kev, I mean, this was on a much lower scale, but I went out and coached the NFLPA Bowl, and it was,
right.
I would guess, 20 runs, and it was with Hugh Jackson. It was 20 runs, 6 or 7 protections, 5 to 10 quick game, 25 step, 10 drop, 7 step drop. I mean, there was probably 50 pass plays in 20 run plays. I mean, it was somewhat a language I understood. It took me about an hour to understand the offense.
Yeah, well,
like, it's not like the quarterback can't learn the language, boys. If he really wanted to, don't you think? In this time, this crazy time, if we end up just getting stuck at home all the time, you could learn Spanish in like 2 weeks. That's all you wanted to do.
I mean, you could certainly take it online very easily. I don't know if that's what I would choose to.
If I said to you, you can keep your job if you learn Spanish by August, but if you don't, Cam Newton's going to have your job. You might want to learn it.
You might want to learn it. What language? If they told you needed to learn a language during this hunkering downtime. For real money, whatever it would be, what language would you choose to learn? Are you bilingual or not? You're not, right?
No.
You don't speak Spanish. What languages did you take in school? Did you take any?
I took Spanish.
You did?
Yeah, I can pick up about one word out of every sentence, and sometimes the gist of a. No, I don't know any Spanish. What language would I want to learn? I don't know. Russian.
Chinese, maybe.
I think it'd be fun to learn Chinese just because I'd like to write in Chinese.
It'd be really hard.
Yeah, Mandarin I think is really hard. Do a full immersion program in Mandarin Chinese for the next month.
I don't know why I took French in school. That was stupid.
Oh, weird. You don't know 22 words of French.
I probably only know maybe 22 words in French. When we were in France last summer, I think it was last summer, whenever it was. Not last summer, the summer before. It's like when you take those languages from way back in the day, you can't speak it, but if somebody's speaking it to you, you can sort of get the gist of what they're saying if you put it in context with whatever situation you're in.
Right. Like when I watch Dora the Explorer with my kids, I know all the words in Spanish. So you probably don't know what that is.
I don't, but I'm sure it's one of those, you know, very popular.
It's a pretty popular little movie. Yeah. They don't watch it very much. I don't like that show.
I loved SpongeBob when my kids were young. I thought that was freaking hilarious. Okay, so Cam Newton netting it out. I say no and no. No, it won't happen, and no, it shouldn't happen. You say?
I say I don't want it to happen. I don't think it should happen. I don't know if it should or shouldn't happen. I don't necessarily like Cam that much, but maybe we would here. I would be open to it. But I say I would not do it.
All right.
But I think there's a 30% chance.
Really? A 30% chance?
I don't know. No, maybe.
Wow.
No, let's take it back. No, I'm going to leave it at that. That's not that high.
That's aggressive. I yesterday said that there's a 20% chance that Trent Williams plays for the Redskins this year.
20?
Yep.
What's he going to do if they tell him they want him to play for him?
He's got to play. If he can't find a contract and can't find a trade partner for the Redskins, he can't sit out 2 years in a row, which is why I've elevated it from, you know, wherever it was before to 20%. I give it a solid 1 in 5 shot. JP was on with us Monday, right, Aaron? And he said that's way too high, that, you know, he's not playing for them this year. I think there's a chance. And you know what? I'd make him play. If I can't get what I want in return, I'd tell Trent, look, we tried. You tried. Now come back, $12,500,000 for 1 year. Go out and kick ass, and you can become a free agent next year. Of course, we could franchise you, but we'll promise, in exchange for you playing this year, we promise you we won't franchise tag you next year. They can do that. That's what the Seahawks did with Clowney on that trade with Houston.
Right. Who didn't have as much of a market as he thought he was going to have.
Right. Hasn't been signed yet.
He can't just become a free agent, though. His contract would toll if he didn't play the last 2 years. If he didn't play this year,
right,
he doesn't just become free.
That's right, unless he reports by the deadline to report, so the contract, you know, counts for this year like he did last year. But here's the thing. If he reports late and doesn't have a full season, his value's diminished, man. If you have 2 years or a year and a half, you know, of not playing football at 33 years old next summer, he needs to prove that he can still do it.
There is an option that he has, because I told you yesterday over the phone, I just don't think he has any leverage. I'm completely wrong on that.
Okay, let me hear it.
Trent Williams tells the Redskins, I don't want to play for you, but if that's my only choice, I'll play for you. He also understands that there's probably not going to be anything all the way until camp, so he doesn't have to worry about that then. He shows up, he gets concussed on the first day, and he never recovers from that concussion through the rest of the season. They have to pay him $12 million to be on the injured reserve.
Should have done that last year.
Should have done that last year, 100%. If I had to be agent for Trent, I would say at least get your money. In last year, he would have had a completely legitimate excuse that he would have recovered from by the end of the year and probably could have found a way to get to free agency had he done things the right way. Or had he done things the right way, probably gotten a deal done sometime at the end of this offseason with the Redskins.
Yeah, but the point is...
I would show up if I was him, and I would have a stinger on the first day or something that's a nerve or non-MRI-able. Right?
Yeah, you're encouraging on the MRI, him to be dishonest.
Yep. $12.5 million? Yep. Sure. Yeah, I would. First of all, I wouldn't. I'd show up and play for the contract that I signed. And that's where I disagree with Trent a little bit, is I know that he wants to be paid more. I know that it's not uncommon practice to sign a guy 2 years early or to extend a guy. That happens, and that's happened here before in the past. But I'd play the year for $12.5 million, guaranteed or non-guaranteed, and I would have tried to get a contract extension done in this offseason. I think that they should try to make amends and figure out a way to give him a little bit more guaranteed money, because they have no one at left tackle. I would think that without a second round pick, who are you going to get? Like I just extend him. Just give him a 2-year extension with some guaranteed money. That's their side of it. Now he would have to accept that, but I don't know. I'm not into this whole "we're mad at you" thing, so we're not going to have a left tackle.
Well, that's the problem, is that it was petty and personal. Now it's just business. Now it's, you know, sorry. I mean, if I'm Ron Rivera, Trent, I'm really, you know, sorry what happened. I had nothing to do with it. That's the last group. Here's the bottom line. I'm not giving you away. You're a really good player. And if you want to play for us this year for $12,500,000 and we can figure out at the end of the year what to do, I'm all for that. You would solve a problem. You would lessen the need for a left tackle. But if you don't want to do that, go seek a trade partner. But if you can't find somebody to pay you what you want, and we can't, and you can't find somebody for us that pays us what we think you're worth, sorry, we're not going to make the deal. Just business. It's not personal anymore. We're not trying to make you bleed like the last guy was. We're just not giving you away for, you know, a third round pick. We can get that in a compensatory pick after you're gone next year.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, making him bleed like the last guy was being held hostage by Trent as well. So there was business on both sides of that.
Yeah, I understand that.
So
I do.
When Trent says, meh, I'm not coming back, anyone's natural tendency is to go, okay, watch what I can do. That's what happened to him.
They still should have traded him. It was petty. It was personal on both sides, and they should have cut bait, and they should have traded him when they could have got a lot for him.
Certainly, well, there's a lot of unknown to what they could have got. Just like the Spanish flu with all the unknown origins, mm-hmm. They're still unknown as to what they actually could have got for him. We think more than a lot of people think, but who knows? To your point, though, this year and moving forward, which is all you can be worried about right now, is you could even just say, look, we want to see you play. Like, you couldn't put a helmet on last year. Okay, we're not giving you money without being able to put a helmet on. That's just not happening. So you come and start playing well, and we'll start working out a contract as the season progresses. We want to see you play.
Well,
I mean, you can give him the handshake assurance that we will be interested in negotiating a deal if you're the same Trent Williams. But if not, you know, things can come and play, and you'll be a free agent at the end of the year, like you said.
Look, the bottom
line
is...
I'm not letting him go. I'm not trading him for a third. By the way, that's what I told you a year ago I thought they would get for him, was a third. I think it probably was higher than that. I don't know if it was a first.
Oh, come on. Bill O'Brien was right there to be completely taken advantage of.
I mean, Tunsil's 25.
It doesn't matter.
Bill O'Brien is getting taken advantage of left and right as the general manager of the Texans. Getting abused right now.
Completely abused, and the Redskins could have gone to him because they had expressed interest, according to reports, in Trent Williams, and if they had made Trent available, that's my problem, is that for all of those that say, you know what, I believe the Redskins and what they said, that they couldn't get anything for Trent. Well, how do you know? You never made him available. You know, if you had made him available, you may have had found out what people were really willing to spend. The bottom line is Houston gave up an absolute fortune for Laremy Tunsil. If you cut it in half, it's a first plus. You know, so I just think they could have taken advantage of him.
Trade value stuff is like people overestimate and underestimate trade value. You don't.
Well, it's
don't
hard.
Know
it's
exactly
hard. It's
it
yeah. You're right. It's hard to figure out. Sometimes you're low.
It's a lot
sometimes
easier
you're
to
high.
Pay a 25-year-old going into a second contract than it is to pay a 31-year-old who just had brain surgery going into his third contract.
Well, it wasn't brain surgery.
I know what it was.
Okay. I mean, I know that, you know, perhaps some of those people that think that this was a one-sided, you know, that only the Redskins were wrong in this, like to refer to it as something approximating brain surgery, but it wasn't.
I know what it was. Yeah. I talked to Trent a lot about it. I've seen Trent. I've seen his scar. I know what it was, but right. You get the gist.
All right, let's get to some other things here. Amari Cooper, they made a big run. They offered him $22 million a year. They would have made him the highest. They offered him a deal that would have made him the highest paid receiver in the history of the game. He stays in Dallas. There could be a lot of reasons for that. I went through them yesterday. He may just wanted to stay in Dallas. Maybe the state taxes essentially made the deal, you know, apples to apples in money. Maybe it's Snyder and the Redskins' reputation. Maybe it's Haskins. Who knows? But The Redskins took a big swing at Amari Cooper and missed. This was obviously a big part of their free agency plan. They weren't able to execute on it. Would you have liked to have seen them get Amari Cooper, even if it meant for $22 million a year?
Yeah, I would love to see them get Amari Cooper. I think Amari Cooper is one of the better receivers in the league. I think he can do anything you want him to do. And I think he's a great route runner. He's awesome after the catch. He's a guy that can get open. He's reliable. He's a hard worker. He's a good guy. I like everything about Amari Cooper. I would have paid him. I don't have a problem at times overpaying a little in free agency when you know on a guy. And I feel like I would. I feel like I know on Amari Cooper. And I feel like the Redskins probably knew on Amari Cooper as well as Dallas. So when you know on somebody, I don't have a problem overpaying. Like, you're feeling a need that you're essentially cherry-picking for a need is the way you should do it, the way good teams do it.
Do you say to people who say Amari Cooper's a good player, not worth that kind of money?
Well, they're wrong. I think he is worth that kind of money. And that kind of money, people have had a very hard time wrapping their head around what that kind of money actually is in today's NFL as to what it was 5 years ago and what it was 10 years ago and what it was 20 years. Receivers get that kind of money. That's just what it is.
Tell everybody what you told me yesterday comparing Cooper to Hopkins.
So first of all, I'm not going to say that they're not both phenomenal players because Hopkins is a phenomenal player. He's physical. He's aggressive. He can go up and high point a ball. Amari Cooper is a better route runner. He's a much more I think he's more polished receiver. They're different players, completely different players. But Amari Cooper is a better route runner.
Yeah, that was you told me yesterday, you said, in some ways I'd want Cooper more than Hopkins.
And a lot of it depends on what you want to run. Like, if I was running the Shanahan offense that we had here 6 years ago, it'd probably be Hopkins. Like, going back to, hey, look, if you can just get by the safety a little bit, like, let's just let him go up and get a ball. And his speed to get down the field, like, that kind of offense, I love that, but for me, with the quarterback right now that I think needs to see guys open and see guys separate, I'd take Cooper all day.
All right, so they didn't get Cooper. And, you know, they've wanted, you know, I think they want to add weapons for Dwayne. They haven't added really one offensive weapon at this point. I believe, and I learned this yesterday again, and I mentioned this 3 weeks ago, that had Kenyon Drake been made available, the Redskins would have targeted Kenyon Drake. So that would have been a guy, but he was transition tagged after they traded David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins, obviously. So the Redskins at this point really haven't added much, you know, in free agency. The list of players they've added are Kendall Fuller, tagging Brandon Scherff, re-signing John Bostic, signing a guard in Wes Schweitzer. And then yesterday, they signed one of my favorite players from those Carolina teams, Thomas Davis, who, by the way, was still productive last year with the Chargers at 36 years old. He's turning 37. And I guess a special teams guy in Kevin Pierre-Lewis. I know nothing about him. They signed him to a one-year deal. He played for the Bears last year. So based on the players they've signed so far, by the way, they lost Flowers. They swung and missed on Cooper. What do you make so far of what they've done?
I think everybody loves Kendall Fuller. Got him back, huh?
Yep.
4 years, $40 million.
Yep, 10 a year. Bradbury got 15 a year, and Byron Jones got 16 a year.
I think Fuller's big time. I like Fuller. I like the guard, Swisher.
You do? What do you know about him?
I like him more than... Why can't I think of our guy from last year?
Flowers.
Yeah, I like him more than Flowers.
Really? Why? Tell us, because I don't know. Nobody knows anything about Schweitzer.
I think Schweitzer's just more technical than Flowers, and I think Flowers is still in a learning process, and I think Schweitzer's a more finished product right now. We'll see.
Have you watched a lot of Schweitzer?
Not enough to know. Not enough to truly know. But I didn't buy into Flowers saved the year. Like I thought Flowers was okay last year. A big-time improvement from where he was, but I think a lot of the praise came from we thought this guy was going to be terrible, and he's not terrible. I didn't think he was amazing.
He got $10 million a year.
I saw that. 3 years, 30?
Yeah,
something like that. 19 and a half guaranteed. Yeah, I saw that. He's a great guy. I thought he was an incredibly hard. I loved everything about Flowers. I don't know. That's the direction I'd move. Thomas Davis is 100. We'll see what happens with Thomas Davis, but he's a heck of a leader.
You played against him a lot, right?
I don't even remember. The Sheriff franchise tag. I've told Brandon Sheriff 25 times that he's going to get franchise tagged. I said you should probably think about working out a deal. But that said, that franchise tag's so big. Like, what's that franchise tag number, 12?
15, 14, 8, 15, something like that.
14, 8.
Yeah.
For a guard.
I know. Well, you know how that works,
right? Here's what I would say, though, right? Go ahead.
That the average of the top five, they bundle guards and tackles together. So the guards really, really benefit from that. You know that, right? That the franchise tag number for offensive linemen, centers are separate, but guards and tackles are lumped together.
Right. Well, but if you were just guards, look at what the last five guards have gotten.
True. That's true, but we know that tackles have been higher paid over the years.
No, there's no question about that, but just guards, I'll bet you'll get over 13.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But that's the problem, and I think that's part of the issue with Brandon, is that he's in this, you got to pay me what I deserve situation, and I just don't think he deserves. I don't know if he's. Let me stop on what he deserves. Okay. One, I want Brandon Sheriff. I've watched him practice every day last year. You just see it. He's got everything you want. I just don't know if I want to pay a guard $70 million. I've done this 100 times with you. I don't want to draft a guard in the first round because I don't want to have him perform at the level I want him to, then end up having to pay him. You find guards everywhere. You find guards in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. Go look at starting guards around the league. From the best through every team, you'll find them in every round of the draft. I don't like paying guards. I do like Brandon Sheriff, though. I think that they should come to terms on a better deal. I don't want to pay him that franchise tag number. But if I'm Brandon, at $14.5 million, you're going to net about $8 million of that. I think with what you've made and another $8 million, worst comes to worst, you're still pretty well off.
What do you think the offer was, the long-term offer to him that he doesn't want?
55.
Over 5? So 11?
Yeah.
That's too low.
I think that it's negotiable.
That's too low. I mean, to your point,
$11 million a year is definitely a little low, and I think he could get closer to 12. So if you were to make it 60 over 5, would you not do that if you were Brandon Sheriff? Keep in mind he's been hurt almost every single year, like 3 years in a row he's had injuries. He's not been a guy that doesn't give up sacks. I mean, he's gotten beat for 4 or 5 sacks a year. He hasn't been perfect. Obviously, he's unbelievably athletic. I see him in a different system being a better player. I think he loved the system he was in, but I see him being a guy that could do anything athletically. I see him with way more potential than he's actually shown on game film. But what he's shown on game film, if he went to free agency, I don't know if he gets $70 million a year.
I think it's...
And by the way,
I think
he's
it's
not
at
getting
least,
a free agency. They
I think it's at
that.
Least 13. You know, it's at least what Norwell got, 2 years ago? It's every bit of that.
Brandon, if you're Brandon Sheriff right now, right.
I'd rather take a lot of the guaranteed money. You know, I'd rather take 13 times 5, 65, and, you know, 35 of it guaranteed or something rather than have 14 guaranteed right now, especially given that he's coming off, you know, a first, you know, sort of injury plague season.
So the one thing you could do with Brandon is in the way you work this out is you could give more guaranteed money in the contract because – you know Brandon. Like, money's not going to change what Brandon Sheriff does.
Right.
So if you gave him 60, you could guarantee 40 of it. you could give him more guarantees. And this is what I would say to him, is just understand that you're not going to get as much if you have the franchise tag looming. Just ask for more guaranteed. That's all that really matters anyway.
Right. That's all that matters anyway.
I would, but if I was Brandon, it's hard. If you're saying 14 is enough for the, it's 14's generational wealth based on what I've already made, and I know I'm going to make more than that anyway, I understand that being okay, but it'd be hard for me to turn down 60 and 35 guaranteed.
Yeah. He, in the last 2 years, he has missed 13 games in 2 years.
That's a lot of games
in
2 years, Kev. And when he's played, there's been times when he's excellent, but there's been times when he's, and maybe some of it's because he's playing hurt a little bit, but there's been times where he's put some pretty average stuff out there.
Wouldn't you say that about Trent Williams?
No, not as much. I think when Trent was playing, he's about at the top of his game.
All right, so you've
but
talked.
But that's it. But just let me clear this all up,
yeah.
So no one. I would be trying to pay Brandon Scherff. Like, Brandon Scherff is the guy I want on my team. He's a teammate that I want. He's a guy. He works the way I want.
Well, if your philosophies don't pay, you're not going to pay guards, then, and you were running the team, then
I would have never drafted him, okay? We would have never been in this predicament,
yeah,
because I would have never drafted a guard.
That's right.
The fifth overall pick or the sixth overall pick.
Got a guard.
To ever have been in this predicament to go into this situation. I love him, and he's here. And you can say, anyone can say they drafted him as a tackle. They didn't. They drafted, he's a guard. So I love him. I'd want to keep him. I think he's a core Redskin, as Joe Gibbs would put it, and Ron Rivera will copy.
Okay. Who's going to play left tackle if they do trade Trent Williams?
I don't know.
I mean, would you think about, you know, re-signing Donald Penn? Would you think about signing Jason Peters to, you know, a two-year deal worth $8 million a year where you got to give him, you know, half of that guaranteed?
You think that's all Jason Peters is going to get?
I don't know. Do you think he's going to get a lot more than that at 38 years
old?
I don't
think he's going to get more than 2 years, but I think he'll get more than $4 million a year.
I said $8 million a year.
Oh, eight a year?
Yeah.
I'd think about that. I'd absolutely think about that. Even if I thought about that, I'd still resign Donald Penn.
Donald Penn's your boy from Utah State.
He is my boy, but Donald Penn played through every single injury, played every snap of the entire year on a brutal year, and did everything that everyone asked of him, and is a heck of a teammate, and is going to be veteran minimum salary. So he's a great backup.
I wonder if that's their plan right now.
I don't know what their plan is.
Here's why I say that. Because Thomas Davis, Adrian Peterson, you know, there's clearly an effort right now from Ron Rivera to, you know, have some real culture guys, you know, in the program. He knows Davis. He knows, you know, he really spoke highly of Adrian Peterson. He's talked about he's got to change a culture. You know, and you just went through all of the reasons that he would love Donald Penn. Great teammate, plays hurt, played well. You know, we've been wondering if they do trade Trent, what the plan is. Donald Penn hasn't signed with anybody else, as far as I know, at least not, you know, based on this recording right now of the podcast. I bet you Donald Penn is their solution next year at left tackle. How old is he now? 37?
Yeah, no, he's probably 38.
Yeah, so
He's about to turn 37.
He's about to turn 37?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that you...
Am I 37? I don't know.
I think you just hit on what the solution to no Trent, if they're able to trade Trent. What do you think the... Okay, I think I have one more thing, and then that's it. We've actually gone really long. I didn't ask you about Diggs to Buffalo.
Oh, I have one thing.
Okay, well, do your one thing right now, and then I'll ask you.
My one thing.
Yeah.
Hayden Hurst was traded by the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
Remember Hayden Hurst was drafted in the first round by the Ravens?
I do.
2 years ago, he was injured. His rookie year, so they ended up having three tight ends. I think Hayden Hurst's a heck of a player. And I think they gave up they ended up swapping a fourth and a second and something. That would have been a good solution at tight end.
You know, he's had issues, you know that, right? He's had depression issues, you know, anxiety issues. A lot of players have had a lot of that recently. I mean, Kevin Love, you know, all the different stories we've heard over the years. But, the Falcons traded
Yeah, the Falcons picked him up.
Yeah, second and fifth rounder for Hurst and a fourth rounder. So Baltimore picked up basically, you know, a second rounder for Hurst for all intents and purposes.
And that's great for them because they have two really good tight ends.
Right.
Stands and... Yeah.
I didn't ask you about Hooper. The Redskins had interest, but Hooper's number got to 11, and apparently the Redskins weren't willing to go anywhere near that.
I think the last time I did this podcast with you, I told you he was going to get $11 million a year.
Yeah.
And I think everyone that has heard me say that thinks I'm insane, and I'm not, because there's no one on the market, and that's what tight ends are getting right now. I wonder if they made him an offer.
I think they realized where the money was going and they didn't even bother. It ended up being 4 for $43, I think. So, you know, just short of $11 million. You know, what was interesting...
4 year, $44 million deal was what I'm reading. $23 million in guaranteed money.
So, JP mentioned this to me on Monday and I thought it was a really good point. If you liked Hooper and you were willing to offer him, let's say, 8 or 9, and you weren't close... and let's just say that they ended up being $2 million, you know, their number was 9 and the number ended up being 11. They paid Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis in combination more than $11 million last year. Why wouldn't you just go up to 11? You've got the cap space. If you like the player, you have a significant need there, or you believe you do. Why wouldn't they have just been more aggressive? Or maybe they found out, like Cooper, you know, or they eventually found out with Cooper that maybe Hooper didn't want to come here.
I would have been aggressive to the point of, I think 11's about as much as I'd want to pay the guy. But I like Hooper a lot. I think he's a good player. I really do think Hooper can play. He's not my favorite. I mean,
your favorite's Henry, so is mine.
My favorite's Henry, but I mean, that was not a possibility.
Yeah.
They could have signed Jason Witten. Nothing.
The tight end will be
an interesting thing. They're going to have to draft a tight end. I'm just telling you right now. Oh, my guy that I love from Georgia ran a 4.78.
Ooh, really?
Not that fast. He's going to fall to the third round, likely.
I thought you thought he would move up to the third round.
I thought he would run in the fourth. I thought he'd run low 4.7s, high 4.6s.
This is the guy you coached.
I would draft him. He was actually on the other team. I didn't coach him, but I watched a lot of Georgia film, not knowing who I was going to coach going into the game, and then I watched him practice, and I talked to him a ton. We talk on the phone every couple weeks. I'm not like his agent or anything. I just think he's a tremendous kid, and I think he's going to be a hell of a football player. So if you could get him in the third round, he'd be a starter for you right now.
What about the guy, the last time we talked about Moss, you know, Randy Moss's son is a potential third rounder somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I think he's probably, do you think he makes it to the third?
Yeah, by the way, your boy Charlie Warner from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still projected 4 to 6.
Not going to go 4 to 6.
I believe
4 to 6 because he's got. He could. He's a starter. I'm just telling you right now. He's going to start day one if he gets drafted to any team that has any need. But you know how these things change once people really start watching film. Once coaches get through this free agency period, and coaches start watching film and they start really participating in these draft meetings,
there aren't going to be any draft meetings.
Yeah, they are.
Not with players. There aren't pro days.
No.
You're just talking about coaches.
The coaching staff and the scouting staff are going to meet. Once the coaching staffs and scouting staffs really start to meet, they're going to rule out the fact that he had 10 catches and look at what he can do. They'll look at the game, the NFLPA game, some of the practices, and they'll go, oh, this guy can really run. And they'll watch him play. And it happens every year with a lot of players. You get all the way into March and into April, and you know, the coaches start watching film, and you're like, oh, wow, he just went up into the second round. Like, where was the guy, where was the safety from Maryland going to go before Green Bay took him last year in that, like, 18?
Yeah.
Nobody knew who he was until all the coaches watched him, and they're like, what? And that guy's a heck of a player. I'm just, this guy's going to go a little higher than people think. Charlie Warner. Good player. I'm sure of that.
Yeah. Darnell Savage, I think, was going to be, like, at one point, probably this time a year ago, was a projected third rounder. You know, second rounder, best case, ends up going 21 overall. And remember, he was a guy that apparently was very high on the board for the Redskins. Very high on their board.
Yeah, I think on a lot of boards.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I was going to ask you about is Alex Smith. You know, I read that, and I think it may have been Ben Standig, who said that there was a reporter out of New England that actually threw out the possibility of Alex Smith to New England. I'm like, what?
I saw that today.
Yeah, I mean, he's not playing again, right?
He wants to play again.
I know. Do you think he's going to play again?
I don't think he should.
Should and capable of are two different things. Will he be physically cleared to play NFL football?
I can't answer that for you. He's getting closer and closer as it progresses. He will always need some form of functional technology in his shoe that helps his legs spring a little bit. I think
he'll
get closer to.
What did you just say?
I think he like one something in his calf doesn't work, so he's got to have like a little spring thing in his shoe to make it fire.
What do you mean like a spring thing in your shoe? What do you?
I don't know anything more about it. I
want a spring thing in my shoe.
That's what I was saying. Is why wouldn't you just do that in everyone's shoes if he can do it? but my thing is going back and looking at 3 years out of my career, I really wanted to play again, and I would have. But it was fine. You're fine. You move on. It's fine. I know that he knows he can. I know he believes in himself. I know he wants to prove it. But he's made so much money, and he's going to be happy. And it's maybe the winning the championship thing isn't there, but I just think it's – I think there's so much risk involved in going back out there for him.
All right. By the way, it looks like – are you seeing this, Aaron, that Denver could potentially release Joe Flacco? There's a backup, veteran backup, for nothing. A bunch of people are tweeting me, your boy Flacco might be available. How about bringing him in? I'd be for it.
Yeah. Well,
what about the Patriots?
My boy Drew Locke, who nobody liked and fell in the draft.
I know. You loved him, and he's the starter. Flacco to the Patriots?
Ooh, that's interesting. I don't like Flacco.
I love Flacco. But he got injured last year. They should have won three games early in the season. They got completely jobbed by terrible officiating.
Right. I got to go.
I know. You got to go. And I was going to just mention whether or not you would have taken Diggs, because that was the other big Redskin conversation. Would you have traded for Diggs or not?
Yeah. I think they need one more receiver.
All right. See ya. Thanks.
See ya.
Chris Cooley, everybody, we're done for the day. That was a longer than typical podcast. I don't even know what the time was, but it flew by as it always does whenever he's on. Back tomorrow with Tommy.